the chest strap thing. So
would the Fitbit track calories burn?
I don't know. See, the problem with it will track calories burned, but only for like running and stuff. The only thing that I could, that I've ever found to be able to accurately track what you've burned during weightlifting is just that type of chest or, you know, heart rate monitor type thing. Because then you can actually look at it. And at least the Polar one. I think I have the H7, I think is what it's called. And it just links up to your phone via Bluetooth, and you just reuse the app, and it records.
This is the one that straps around your chest?
And you just hit start, and it starts recording everything. And then once you're done, you can uploads it to HealthMate. And then from there, I have it set to be able to be read by MyFitnessPal. And it's pretty instantaneous. It, you know, boom, 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 done. And it logs it immediately in MyFitnessPal.
Yeah, because even the elliptical, I know, like, it says you burn this many calories, but it doesn't know how tall I am or how much I weigh or...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I know they're just, like, ballpark the guessing. Most,
yeah. In which case, I'll still use stuff like that, because something like that, you can still enter into MyFitnessPal and be like, yeah, I burned this many calories.
You're like, I know I at least got this many.
I burned 3,000 calories.
I got this. Yeah, I burned 4,700 calories. I can eat anything I want.
Anything. The app told me to. Yeah.
We going to get started? Just saw it.
I wanted to capture the part of sweating my balls off in the garage, but I didn't hit it in time. So,
oh, that garage is so fucking hot right now, dude.
Yeah.
It was like a month ago. I was wearing a sweater in there in the mornings just to make sure. Now it's like, I'm going to fucking die.
Now he uses newspaper and
now I turn a fan on in there and I have to bring a towel in to wipe sweat away because it's so fucking gross in there.
Sorry, I got a text message from my nephew.
No, that's not good.
Actually, it's a picture of the Batmobile.
Like I said, not good.
Tim Burton's Batmobile.
Ooh.
Got neon lights, Joe.
Where's he at?
I don't know. That's what I was...
He's like, they brought it to school today.
That's awesome.
Cody!
Yo!
What are we doing today?
I'm trying to buy Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom tickets, but
nah, ain't gonna happen.
Not really working out so well so far. Oh, we talking about Deadpool 2, man.
Yeah, but who are we?
Oh, I'm.
Not, you know what I mean.
He's Cody.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Comes naturally, motherfuckers. We is
Joe. The is part threw me off for a second.
We is. I is Mike.
Yeah, and me be Cody.
Me be Cody.
We're trying to mix it up, you know? Make like episodes kind of pop in different ways.
Like yeah.
It. No one cares what Joe thinks because Joe doesn't have his own podcast. When you have your own, you can make decisions, Joe.
Oh, shit.
I hope so.
Nope, I will tell you what you do. Only science. It has to be a metric.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
Because it's science.
Yeah.
That was kind of the joke. Not a great joke, but
no,
whatever.
No one said it was.
We're talking about Deadpool 2 today, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
We done seen it last
week. Yeah, we did.
We gave you motherfuckers a week, so if you
one
don't
week.
Like the facts, there's going to be spoilers right
say
now.
Say motherfucker a lot.
I'm getting the mood of Deadpool.
Okay, motherfucker.
Yeah, see? You got it.
What the ass?
What the actual fuck? But we're just so you know, right at the top of the beginning of this, there will be spoilers.
All of them.
Like, we're going to spoil
Juggernaut.
Everything. Hey, man. I'm not done with the spoiler warning yet.
You told them, though.
It's been a week.
It's Juggernaut.
We hope that you
that's
have seen
the spoiler.
It. Otherwise, guess
Brad
what?
Brad Pitt's in it.
We're done. That's it. See you guys next week.
Deadpool dies at the end.
Yep.
Actually, that's
and Matt Damon.
Yeah. So, we'll do our normal thing. We'll start with Mike.
Yeah.
Favorite three things and one thing you're surprised by. Go.
Favorite three things. One, Juggernaut. Two, Brad Pitt.
What about Juggernaut?
No. Just let me do my list. Juggernaut, Brad Pitt, Terry Crews. Things I was surprised about. How prominently the X-Force was featured.
So you're a liar.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your favorite three things and what were you surprised by?
No, it was exactly what I wanted it to be. I don't really have like three favorite things.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna lump it all into one. Yeah, but
Part one.
You're just gonna interrupt my with different parts, try to plan it.
As soon as you get to the segment, I'm like, part two.
I might have three parts. No, it was exactly what I wanted it to be. It was the same type of humor from the first one with a little bit more action, which was exactly what I said I wanted the last week when we were talking about what we expected from it or what we wanted from it. So the humor was great. It was that meta humor where it's breaking the fourth wall. It's doing that shit. It's making jokes about itself. It's making jokes about, you know, Josh Brolin, making jokes about Ryan Reynolds, you know, that kind of shit. With, the opening action sequence where he's going through and just tearing up people was fucking amazing. And then it had really good action sequences paced throughout the whole movie, so they never felt like a lull in it. The cast was really dope. That chick who played Domino, I don't know anything about her. She's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
she is awesome.
Was amazing.
I can't wait for her to be in the next one or a Domino movie or something, because she needs more screen time for sure. And then you said the rumor was Juggernaut, but for some reason I had forgotten about that when they're teasing it start. And
I was like, I supplemented that. He's like, nah.
Yeah.
Cody's a liar.
Yeah, well, you do that sometimes.
What?
But when they're teasing it, the biggest guy in the prison, you know, I was like, well, who the fuck is that? And then I saw the guy, I was like, oh, okay, Cody said that, and I forgot, and I'm still surprised because I'm dumb. The thing that surprised me.
Oh, okay. That was part one, two, and three.
Surprise. Yeah, that was my three parts. I think I said three things.
Close enough.
Like there was like a side of serious emotional stuff in this movie that I wasn't expecting at all, like whatsoever, and it kind of pissed me off, to be honest. Like, I liked it.
Mike cried.
I didn't cry.
Mike wept.
I wept. Manly wept. But no, like, spoiler, her dying right away, I was like,
doesn't matter. It's not a spoiler, technically.
What the fuck? I was like, how? Like, why? And then they made fun of it in the James Bond opening sequence. Yeah. But what was funny, not funny about her dying, but what was funny about switching...
Mike hates women.
To, no, I was pissed. I was pissed she died. But when they switched to the James Bond opening sequence, and they're making the jokes brought to you by, do they really just kill her off? Yeah. You know, and like... Which I was looking forward to
one
that.
One of the guys who killed John Wick's dog.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that because the opening credits in the first one were so funny. So I was kind of wondering what they're going to do. Is that fucking Celine Dion song all of a sudden made a lot more sense, and it made it a serious good song. And I was like, well, fuck, dude. Like,
they're masters of the
these craft, assholes there. Thought about stuff and they made it all work.
They done got me.
Yeah.
I think they put thought into this.
To talk about like that weird slice of emotional, like real emotion in this movie, the very, very end where he goes through the wall to and sees her again and he goes back to normal Wade. I was like, fuck, this is really goddamn sad. And you already kind of know Cable's going to fucking do his thing and bring him back, and you almost don't want him to. You're like, nah, let him stay.
Like, this is his happy ending.
Yeah.
But guess who saves him in the end?
Hmm.
She does with the token.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poignant.
So it was a really good movie.
It was.
And I can't wait to see it again.
I would like to watch it right now. Let's go see it.
Okay.
Joseph. Three favorite things and one surprise.
Or just say things like I did.
It's pretty much just gonna be say things like you did.
I'm used to that now.
Fuck it you, is Cody. Probably more hilarious than the first movie.
It is.
Fuck you, Mike.
We all said it was better than the first one after the movie, right? Like, we all kind of unanimously agreed with that.
I said I can't decide if it's better than the first one, but no. I think it is better.
To me,
than the
first I walked. One. I mean, and again, it's been a while since I've seen the first one because I'm like, you guys, been, I didn't, it, I didn't it go was back about through and watch
four
it.
Hours for me.
Yeah, but to me, it's more quotable. Like, a lot more things from this movie stuck with me.
Yeah, they did a lot better job throwing that shit in there. The first one has a bunch, but they're very, like, right in the beginning. Like, there's a few sprinkled in. This one is literally just, like, every 10 minutes is some fucked up thing you can say to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, coming in the soap dispenser.
Or, oh, God.
Called Domino there. Black Widow.
Yeah.
I lost my shit so hard. Oh, it was so good.
All right, calm down, Black Widow. Oh, no. Do your thing, Black Widow.
Yeah. And then he calls it, you know, this is a family movie. As he's chainsawing a dude in half in that opening montage.
After he's, like, hacked off limb after limb after head leading up to that. It's like, oh, the chainsaw's actually kind of tame.
And you know what? I didn't even... Like, because the first one had that, this is a love story. This is a love story movie, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I wasn't, for some reason, I was just, like, that was, like, an afterthought to me. And when they went in, like, this is, I was like, oh, they're setting the tone again right at the very get-go. So that's pretty cool.
The Batmobile is in the Smithsonian of American History.
Who the fuck are they?
Where's the Smithsonian?
Obviously.
It's Washington.
Well, was it, like, a tour DC. Or something that's going on?
No, it's the Smithsonian.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like doing like a... Sometimes
have you never been to the Smithsonian? You walk around, it's a museum.
No, I've never been there before. Never been to Washington before.
Oh, we should go.
Washington, D.C. I've been to Washington before. They don't have that there. No, but sometimes the Smithsonian does like a traveling thing. Because in San Diego, they used to come to the National History Museum. They would do like the Smithsonian... Smithsonian presents this, and it's like a bunch of the stuff they have like on tour. So I don't know if it was one of those that were here or something.
No. They're in Washington. I do remember now that they're on a little vacation.
Thanks for the fucking invite.
My niece and nephew.
I wouldn't have gone anyways.
Just got, yeah.
Do they actually have time to go through all the museums, like unlike someone else who ran out of time?
Seriously, I don't know what their schedule is like. Knowing my sister, they probably do because she has everything planned down to like the millisecond. Okay, guys, let's
go. We will see this year. Come on. At 2:15, we'll be looking at cars.
Yeah. So number one, just how absolutely hilarious it was and how I think it was much more hilarious in the first movie. Number two is how emotional it was. I can't think of a superhero movie where recently, Logan, I think, is the last movie that I can think of that actually had such heart in it and you really felt for the characters. In it. So, yes. So that would be my second one. And then my third one, I lost track of what it was.
Okay.
He says. Fun. Oh, the ending. The endings, I should say. The
endings.
Yeah, the credit scenes. There is nothing after the credits. This is all happening during the credits where he goes through and he's retconning. All the stuff, so he ends up shooting Deadpool from
Weapon X-Men. 11?
Yeah, Weapon 11, whatever it's called, from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he ends up shooting himself as Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
So that the Green Lantern movie doesn't get made. There was one more, wasn't there? Oh, he ends saved up his saving girlfriend. His girlfriend. Yeah. Which brings it back around to the fact that it's so goddamn emotional, and it has no right to be this fucking emotional. But you're right, yeah, to add on to the emotional parts, where he is dead, and he's standing on the opposite side of that wall, that invisible wall between him and his dead girlfriend, and he's like, why can't I be with you right now? Like, I just want to end this and just be with you forever. And she's like, it's not your time yet. But even then, when he does manage to cross over in his ultimate act of heroism... And he thinks, this is it. I've finally accomplished something positive with my life. I'm finally going to be with the woman I love forever. And then she's like, no, you still have stuff to do. And he gets taken out.
And calls them his family.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck. And it's his family.
You sons of bitches.
This sucks.
Mm-hmm. And then what I was surprised about?
Matt Damon.
Yeah, I guess it'd be all the little cameos because I
the didn't actual really, cam- yeah the cameos
the actual cameos because I didn't really read anything up on the movie going into it. So you know, obviously the Banisher was a pretty hilarious character because you weren't actually sure if he was standing in the room
or if he was actually real.
If he was actually real until you see the backpack that's, you know, yeah, the back. And then he hits the power lines and you just for a split second, it's like, that's Brad Pitt, right? Yeah. That was Brad Pitt, right?
I guys? Had to look it up because I was like, I'm pretty sure that was Brad Pitt.
I saw it and I knew it. I was like, oh, it was Brad Pitt. I thought it was like they just used his face like they did Hugh Jackman in the first movie with the magazine and stuff. You know, like they just took footage from something else that like Fox has a hold of because they obviously have some Brad Pitt stuff and just threw it in there as like a joke, right? Well, then I was telling them last night. It was actually Brad Pitt. He yeah. shot that scene, a scene. It was basically a motion capture scene. But do you know how much he got paid for it?
Mm.
So he's friends with the director who is his
stunt choreographer
from many movies. Mm-hmm. And so he said, yes, I reached out to him. I was like, you know, I want, like, I'd like to do some of this.
He originally wanted him to play Cable.
Yep.
But due to scheduling conflicts.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I like Brolin, but fuck, how dope would that have been, though?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Oh.
Anyways.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you keep going.
So he said, yeah, you know, like after the fact, he's like, yeah, you know, that's cool. I'd like to do something in it, right? So he's like, we have this one thing for you. He's like, all right, cool. But I have one stipulation. The only way you're going to pay me is I have a very specific thing you need to do to pay me for this. And he's like, money? Like, what do you want? He goes, I want hand-delivered Starbucks delivered to me directly by Ryan Reynolds.
What a dick. That was his
payment.
That's funny.
Yeah.
No reason why. No explanation. No, that's the only thing he wanted.
Good man.
I was like, all right.
Good man.
But then I missed the Alan Tudyk one. He ends up being one of the two.
I realized it was Tudyk. I didn't know it was.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's like the credits are rolling by, and I was like, oh shit, that was Alan Tudyk as one of the other rednecks. And yeah. I could have swore I didn't recognize the name of the other redneck. But then later on, Cody told me that was Matt Damon. I'm like, no fucking way, that was Matt Damon.
Well, he was credited as his character from The Talented Mr. Ripley, yeah. right?
Yep. Okay, so that's why.
So that's why the character name is dumb. And okay. There's no way I would have recognized that until I read it later. I was like, oh, those clever fuckers.
Yeah, Dickie Greenwald.
Because it's been 100 years since I've seen that movie.
Dickie Greenland is the character's name from The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Did anybody play Juggernaut or was
it's Ryan Reynolds?
Okay.
So it's the whole character was CG. There's no motion capture for it, but Ryan Reynolds did the voice.
Okay.
And basically all they did is just change the tempo of his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the X-Force was absolutely funny because you had Terry Crews and you had you know, some other the characters were more of the
Bill Skarsgård
in it. Bill Skarsgård as what was his name?
Zeitgeist.
But the actual characters were more of the cameo than anything, because once they go on that mission, they just all fucking die.
Yeah,
in the most horrific and hilarious, in the greatest ways ever.
Yeah, and so so for people who don't know who X-Force is, X-Force is a Black Ops team, derived of mutants and people who have abilities, except for Peter, who are deemed dispensable, basically. They're like, hey, we need these erasable people we can send in to do the dirty work, and if they get caught or murdered, it's fine.
The expendables of the mutants.
Yeah, so like in later on, it's like Wolverine, because he can't really die. You're not going to get any secrets out of him, because no matter what you do to him, he's not going to crack, because that's just how he is. You have someone like Colossus, who's essentially pretty much damn near indestructible in general. Later on, you have like Warpath and a bunch of different ones. But yeah, so they're kind of like, hey, it's not that we want them to die, but it's if they die, it's okay, because they're nobody, no big deal. And of course, this group is basically even more so, because they're a bunch of nobodies. Mm-hmm. Shatterstar, Zeitgeist, The Vanisher, Peter. But yeah, that scene's pretty funny too, just because it's so like,
because they build it up in the trailers.
Everything, there's like, yeah, X Force, like we're the X Force, X Force. I'm like, oh, it's gonna be fucking dude, like it's all gonna be fighting Cable, and he's gonna be beating ass, right? Yeah, not mm-hmm. a single, not a, not, the nope. only two make it out of that fucking, out of that, well, three technically after the retconning, but only two make it to the battle with Cable, and they don't do so well no. against him at all.
No.
I mean, he literally is a mercenary, so.
I thought it was funny. There's one thing we haven't talked about. Did you realize that at the end, where everybody gets covered in smoke and Deadpool ends up in like a black and gray costume, it's essentially one of his costumes
from
the
X-Force?
Yeah. 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 I thought that was
because he wears a black and gray costume with red eyes, and that's what they did to him. Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious, and we just hadn't talked about that.
Yeah.
So how about you, Cody?
I didn't like it at all.
Oh, bullshit.
Because I loved it. I got everything I wanted out of it, and more. I was surprised because I think they, the whole thing with X-Force is they really did throw us some curveballs in how it was going to go, because it just seemed like the entire movie was going to be basically Deadpool and Cable going at it in different ways. You know, one fight Cable's going to win, one fight Deadpool's going to win, back and forth. But then he has to then bring this group of misfits together as the X-Force to kind of overwhelm Cable, to be like, you can't kill this kid. You got to realize that we need to join forces. You know what I mean? For whatever reason. Juggernaut. So I was actually surprised that that's not how it went. And I think it was very clever the way they did it. Like Joe was saying, is they put so much emphasis on X-Force and then literally didn't last 5 minutes. Like, they jump out of the plane as this big group. You see them all flying down as this big group, right? You have Peter, and you have all of them right there, led by Deadpool. And then the one thing that he was just like so adamant about is like the heavy winds aren't going to matter. And as soon as they obviously pull their chutes, they all get scattered into the wind. Domino's the only one that actually makes it, because by luck, she isn't gobbled up by the wind. Mm-hmm. The rest of them get thrown off course, and then of course land in terrible situations and all die. Well, not all of them die, because technically, Terry Crews' character didn't actually die, right? I mean, he got hit by it. They were putting him in the back of an ambulance, so he's not, like, dead.
I don't know. They didn't say.
I like that. I love the fact that they kept playing up some of the jokes from the first movie, with the whole, like, instead of having the baby hand, is this something with the baby legs and the baby dick?
Jesus Christ, when he's walking up.
So
dude, awkward. The Basic Instinct moment was fantastic. I was like, this is so inappropriate.
And they pointed out, oh, he just Basic Instinct.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny. Again, it's funny to me that this essentially joke of a movie does better with X-Men and comic book characters than pretty much all of the previous X-Men movies have done. Colossus is amazing. He looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Juggernaut was fucking just
better than they've done recently.
Well, recently, the last bunch. Like, the first ones obviously were done
lovingly. I mean, outside of the fact of just killing a bunch of mutants.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah. But like, this one's like, they've done a much better job with the Juggernaut than they did in X-Men Last Stand. They did, they've done a better job with Colossus, because he's actually, like, you know, not just some guy who's babysitting kids. He's actually in the fight, you know? He's also this moral standpoint where it's like the opposite of Deadpool. But then they play up the joke about how it's this big mansion, and every time he goes in, it's just the two of them. Well, the three of them this time, because it has. I found out the other day is that was actually them coming back and actually playing those characters again. It wasn't footage from another movie.
It looked kind of weird.
Actually McAvoy and Nick Stahl and all of them back there, like everybody, just for that one scene. It's like, that's pretty funny. Pretty awesome, because you could easily just repurpose something, you know, like they did what they did with Hugh Jackman, obviously. And then of course Weapon 11, which did not get what he deserved. He got way less than what he should have got, just being killed and shot a bunch in the legs, not really good. But I mean, it's cool because they had all of them come back and do that just for that one little joke scene. But then, like, they play up the whole he's wearing Cerebro at one point, then ends up breaking it. You know, he's driving around in fucking Professor X's electric wheelchair. That shit was pretty clever. Like Mike said, the fourth wall breaking was hilarious, because they did it multiple times in the same scene, but then he broke reality to characters also. Mm-hmm. Like, when he's talking, like, the line from the trailer got me when he's trying to, like, cut all the bullets that Cable's shooting, and he's like, your bullets are fast, and you see, like, you know, the bullet holes or whatever, and obviously in the movie you see it differently because you actually see blood spurts coming out of his back. that whole thing. But then you have the line when Juggernaut first shows up, he starts rattling off his favorite Juggernaut issues.
Comics?
Like, comics, and it's like, that's hilarious, because he's not saying it, like, as to us, he's, like, saying it to Juggernaut. Like it's a real thing, you know, like, he actually has these comic books, you know what I mean? It's like, it's so fantastic. I was surprised Juggernaut was in it as much as he was. I thought it was gonna be like a throwaway thing, you know, like, oh, it's gonna be like the...
Well, he fucking, Hulk, Wolverine, Deadpool.
Yeah, which he's actually done before.
Yeah, but the ripped in half part?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, good lord. Like, right away, like, that was the first thing he did.
Yeah, so, and that was really awesome. I loved, the character they did, the way they did Cable was amazing. He was just no shits given, do whatever he needs to, you know, it doesn't matter.
He looks super dope too. Yeah. Especially the scenes in between the action scenes when he's like repairing himself. It felt so Terminator 1 to me.
Yeah.
Because there's that scene where he's just sitting in an old gross fucking hotel room by himself, looking at himself in the mirror trying to fix stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, this feels just like Terminator. I love it. But just the look of it too, how the metal intertwined with the flesh where it met up, I was like, god damn, that looks really dope.
Yep.
Yeah, so I like that a lot.
He did make a joke about how short he was, too.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh, because I was like, yeah, Cable's like 2 inches shorter than Deadpool.
Yep. What else? There's something else I saw. Oh, the going along with the recurring jokes is that whole... talking about the timeline thing, you know, and obviously they show the newer X-Men, but they're in modern times, so it just makes it even more confusing. Yeah. Not that he saw them, but, you know, it's funny that way. But you you have the moments that are essentially ripped off from other movies, like the Say Anything scene where he's trying to convince Colossus to come with him, you know? He's holding his phone. It looks like a little boombox, and it's, of course, Peter Gabriel. So little stuff like that is just hilarious. The thing I was surprised by was actually Juggernaut and how well they did it, because when I first read that thing about, oh, the secret villain is, you know, is going to be Juggernaut, I'm like, oh, so he's going to be used, like, he's going to be the last thing. And when, before they even went to the ice box, I thought, oh, this is what this guy is doing at this school, is he has these kids and he's mentally breaking them down to... I didn't think at first he was actually mentally breaking down to try to get them to not be mutants, you know, which is, that's not how that works. You can't just, like, don't be a mutant.
Yeah.
Don't be a mutant. It's your actual DNA. It's not how that works. I thought that's what it was, is he was, like, essentially making, like, a brotherhood of mutants, and, you know, like, he was making them weapons and stuff. And I thought that's where Juggernaut was going to come from. And of course, he comes from the ice box, which makes way more sense. Mm-hmm. But I was just grasping at straws, like, where is he going to come from? But I literally thought he was going to be, like, at the very end. But he was in the good last half of the movie, the last third of the movie or so, and it was done really, really well. And he was funny. I like the lines he has when he's talking to Fire Fists, as they call him. Randall, right, is his name?
He needs a better name. I told him that, but he wouldn't
listen. Russell, yeah. But to go along with the emotional thing, it's not just the whole thing with Vanessa and Wade and her obviously being dead, which completely threw me for a shock. I was like, I thought it was going to come close, like, you know, it was that first time. Then, of course, the dude steps back, you know, he's about at his panic room, and then he throws the cream cheese spreader at him, and of course sticks in the doorway instead, and he ends up firing. Of course, missing him completely because he flinched and, you know, obviously shot Vanessa. But the whole thing with Cable and playing up the whole dead wife, dead daughter thing was pretty brutal, because, like, you see him walk over to the basically scorched bones.
Of them holding each other.
He pulls up the bear. You're like, oh, that's pretty rough. But then you get to see it when the adult version of Russell, spoiler alert, Fire Fist, is doing the actual killing. I was like, well, this is pretty rough. Like, this is, I was like, now so I got dark. Some salt from my eye in my ass from this popcorn that Joe's eating. But I was like, yo, like, this is rough to watch. Like, it's fucked up, man. And of course, all the three scenes with Vanessa in the afterlife were pretty rough emotionally. And I was like, they did a really good job. But I think one of the best things I saw was David Leitch, I think is what it's pronounced, Leitch or Leitch or something like that. Yeah. Anyways, the director, part of the crew that directed John Wick 1. When he said that they wanted to make a movie that would stand apart from the first one, but what they wanted to do is they wanted to embrace the comic book more, and I think they really did that extremely well, because you have the zaniness that is Deadpool, but then you have the straight up just murderous fucking rampage they have. But that part where he chases the dude out of the apartment after he shoots Vanessa, and the dude's trying to get away in the car, and he slams in the side of it. You can see the brutal strength and the real power that
Deadpool you didn't really has. Get that from the first one at all.
Yeah, and you don't get it even in the montage. I mean, he's never really that pissed off, because he knows he doesn't need to exert himself. Because yeah, I can shoot all they can shoot me all they want. It's gonna hurt, but not enough to really stop me. And I'm just gonna cut my way through everybody. And the whole diaper and the like Yakuza bathhouse thing, and he sits up and he goes boop, like that was made me laugh too. But like you see him shoulder into that fucking car, and he throws the guy not only through across the car but out the other door, and the car is just wrecked, and he stumbles over. I'm like, oh, this dude is so in trouble. Like, he's gonna pick parts off this motherfucker on a calendar basis.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, Monday the 3rd, boink, you know. And of course the whole killing himself, I was like, well, obviously that's not gonna happen. Like, it's gonna. But I like the fact that it's Colossus that comes to pick him back up, and he does the whole like Chewie carrying C-3PO in Cloud City, and then it's like he's going and like you see like the whole like trying to get him to be a better person in the mansion. I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like, this is so ridiculous. But yeah, it's terrific job. I think. If I had to choose, I would say this was better than the first one, only because they didn't have to do the whole origin thing, and they had more to play with. They also had much more money to play with.
Yeah.
So they could do things. Because in the first movie, he killed a bunch of people, but he did not eviscerate them like he did in this one. Like, he's cutting, like, he's just spinning, cutting off, like, just in and that he's first also scene.
Just Deadpool, like, been Deadpool for a minute. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think people forget about that, and especially comic book movies, they expect the characters to be who they know from the literature right away. Like, it kind of goes back to like that Superman, the Man of Steel thing. Like, oh, why didn't Superman do this? Or why didn't Superman? I'm like, well, you've been Superman for like 8 minutes total, like real time. You know what I mean? Like, give him a fucking break. And same thing with Deadpool. I feel like he's just figured, he didn't have powers. You know what I mean? Like, he never had powers his whole life. It's the first time he's had those. And so he's learning them, you know? And I think it's a thing that's it's not really spoken about in the movie, but it's, you know, like in this one, you see him just fucking rip through people with much more ease. And then the power comes on display, which I don't think he realized he was that powerful either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because in the first movie, he uses his healing factor and the ability to be, you know, immune to death and stuff in a defensive way more. And in this one, he's fuck it. Like, I don't care anymore. You can unload full auto pistols and shit right at me. I don't give two shits. Yes, it's going to be painful, but I'm used to it now. But in the first one, even like the whole freeway scene, he's attempting to avoid being shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's doing flips and spins to get out of the way. And this time he's literally walking through people. And yeah, he does flips and stuff, but he's like flipping through bullets and cutting people, you know, cutting arms off, but like,
cutting people's heads off and kicking them and shit.
Oh, dude, one of my favorite parts is that first scene. He's like taking the guns out of the taking the gun hands from the criminals.
Yeah,
and he's chopping off and he's catching them on one sword, and so you see all the guns with the hands on them. I was like, that is a Deadpool moment right there for sure.
That's like, good stuff.
I was I think I was more surprised on how well they did everything, because of the fact that it was more played up in this one, and they had a lot. Obviously, like I said, a lot more to play with, and they decided to kind of embrace the ridiculousness that is Deadpool and kind of just amp it up even more. Because the first one was pretty amped up, but like this one, they fucking just like not even 11. They just took the knob off and just got a little thing inside. But every character was this, like, even the cab driver, can't even his name right now. Like, he was even more ridiculous than the first one. Like, talking about how, you remember that time I, like, put my brother in the trunk and ultimately killed him? I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, he's like, he has no, and then, of course, at the end, he kills the headmaster with his cab, which is hilarious in its own right. But no, I think they did an amazing job on every aspect. It was fantastic. I think the fact they even made it more violent than the first movie was pretty impressive. And every aspect of it more violent too. Like every little bit of it was just more violent. Like him killing people was more violent. The fights with him, the people were more violent. The damage done to him was more ridiculous. You know, obviously getting torn in half and having to regrow his legs. So like that, I mean, it's just super cool. And I think the whole Cable thing was pretty cool with his technology and him doing different things.
The prison fight scene with him and Cable.
The icebox was fucking fantastic. Yeah.
Fucking amazing. When his arm's all fucking dislocated and he uses it to choke him.
Around him. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. He's like, this hurts.
And he's like yelling as he's doing it. I'm like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
That's super dope, though.
Yep. And that kid that Julian Dennison, I think his name. Hold on. Scroll back to the characters. Yeah, Julian Dennison. Played Rustin Collins, Fire Fist. That kid was amazing.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
He's 12.
I would have thought older, but yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, I think I didn't watch the interview, but he was either on Conan or he was on Jimmy Fallon. And he's like, I guess in the interview, he's like, I'm not even old enough to see my own movie. He's like, I had to get permission to go see my movie.
Nice.
I was like, he had to have his mom ring him. That's amazing. But he was fantastic.
Yeah.
The whole, he's like, don't let him stab you with his butt shank or whatever it was. His prison wallet. Go ahead and put that back in your prison wallet.
I didn't even realize him, but he's that kid from, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but Hunt for the Wilder People. Yeah. He was fucking amazing in that movie. I don't know why it didn't dawn on me that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Really good movie with your favorite actor from Jurassic Park.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it was also directed by the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok.
Okay,
Samuel.
Is that what you said?
No.
Okay.
Anyways, dun, dun, dun. Oh, and the both the director and both writers were cameos as inmates in the icebox. Was the other one I thought was pretty fun too. They were ground chuck mutants, as they were referred to. Okay. A news helicopter pilot and news cameraman. So they threw themselves in there as well. But yeah, I mean, it's just fucking hilarious. I mean, it just, like, I'm not going to have a mic moment. I didn't think I was going to, like, hate it or whatever, but I was kind of worried that they couldn't live up to the spectacularness they did with the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like you guys have said, they think they did surpass it in a way. Like, there's something amazing about the first one, and that, like, that captured the soul and essence, and this just kind of expanded on it. I think they did an amazing job doing it, and I think the fact they brought in other characters and kind of play with it wasn't just Deadpool doing his Deadpool thing the entire time by himself.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was, the only worry I had was because it was going to be a back and forth between Cable and Deadpool for like the entire, like, entirety of the movie, and then later it was going to be the X-Force in him. I was like, this could get kind of old. But the fact that it wasn't that way at all.
Nope.
I thought it was really, really clever. Plus the fact it was just like so ridiculous, and like the fight scenes themselves, and like how Cable was just so I'm like, he's gonna walk through everything, and he does. Like, mm-hmm. he just walks through everybody and everything, and then, and like, even powered up, Deadpool's like, I don't know the fuck to do with this guy. Like, I don't know how to stop this human tank mm-hmm. from literally destroying everything in front of him. And of course, he shoots Black Tom, which is unfortunate.
You keep making the race, like, calling him racist yeah. throughout the movie because he killed Black Tom.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I you know, I thought it was good times. Good times. Good times, great oldies. And I'm excited for more. Because apparently Josh Brolin signed on for six things.
Like Ryan Reynolds not contracted, though.
Well, I'm sure that's not going to happen. That's probably going to change.
Right.
Well, yeah, but... I didn't think that was weird when Josh Brolin signed on for all those movies, because you know there's not going to be that many Deadpool movies. So I was like, he's going to cross over into like the real X-Men movies?
Maybe.
Which would be, I mean, makes sense because he can time travel. But it's just weird how the like, I don't know. It's kind of odd, but I'm into it. I'm just worried that like some people are going to be like, well, that doesn't hold up with this movie, and like not being able to separate Deadpool being its own little entity. Mm-hmm. And try to insert those rules into the yeah. other universe, because I feel like they're going to do that, because I don't think moviegoers are smart enough not to.
Trust me, they're not.
So that's going to be a little weird to see how that's handled. I mean, it's just like the same thing with like people who were like confused why Christian Bale wasn't the Batman in this current run. You know what yeah. I mean? Like those kind of people.
So you're trying to tell me when he grows up, he's Ben Affleck? No, I'm not telling you that at all.
Yeah, that's what we're telling you.
Couple of little fun little tidbits and little details. So obviously talk about how Ryan Reynolds did the voice for Juggernaut. He obviously played himself basically on the verge of agreeing to do Green Lantern and gets shot in the back of the head by Deadpool. You're welcome, Canada, that sort of thing. Killing that version of Deadpool or Weapon 11 from X-Men Origins Wolverine, but the director has said that they're actually going to do a director's cut, extended cut for the release of home video. It's going to have another, I think he said 12 or 15 minutes of footage, and it's going to be a bunch of gags they want to put in. One of them is actually going back in time and killing baby Hitler. Like, literally baby Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty ridiculous. They said there's some extended scenes, like there's a breakfast scene, which is actually the build up to the jacking off in the soap dispenser scene, because they're in the kitchen and Klaus is trying to do the dishes. And he's like, this soap dispenser is broken, or it must be out because it's hard to get the soap out. He's like, I just keep hitting it a bunch, or keep whacking it a bunch. I just refilled it. Then later on, he does the punchline where he says, you know, so that's in there. There's basically in that whole scene is also Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Basically telling Deadpool that she doesn't believe that he's changed, and this is just him being a piece of shit, like he's still an asshole, which I thought was obviously she played up pretty well through the entire movie. So little things, pretty fun little things like that. Time to stand.
Really? Mine too.
That was weird.
Yeah.
We've both been sitting for a little while, so.
We have.
But yeah, so yeah, you know, that was it for Deadpool. What are we at? We have a little bit of time left. So, as of recording, we will be seeing Solo, a Star Wars story, tomorrow night.
Yes.
Real quick, what do you want to see in it, Mike? What's one thing you want to see come out of this movie? That you anticipate coming out of this movie, I should say.
I don't know, it's weird because there's not a lot of things that I'm like, oh, I need to see this. I need to, you know what I mean? Like, the Kessel Run would be cool, you know, to finally understand what the fuck, you know, that is. Whatever the life debt Chewie owes Han, just like curiosity out of those things. Gotcha. But outside of that, I want it to be a good heist movie more than anything else. I want it to be a space heist movie. You know what I mean? The fact that it's characters that we all know and love is like a plus, but my hope for this movie is if you take those characters out and you put in people you'd never heard of before, it
would just be a space.
This would be a cool ass space heist movie. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping for. So,
Joseph.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The exact same thing that Mike said.
No, because me and Joe are on the same fucking wavelength, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Cody.
I curse a lot more. That's probably it.
You do.
Yeah. You're a fucking terrible person. I want to see a lot. I mean, I do want to see that. I want to see some other kind of adventure, just like with Rogue One, where it was like a different type of adventure movie inside the Star Wars universe. I hope this is the same way, where it's, you know, you could substitute these people. Like, if it wasn't Han and Chewie, it could be somebody else that's in it, but it's still in the Star Wars universe. It still has all those Lego bits to play with.
Yeah.
And all those you know, puzzle pieces to kind of delve into in that big sandbox of a universe. But I'm glad that it is with them. So, you know, we can have the fun in those characters and kind of see the beginning of certain things, you know, like we saw in a couple of the trailers and stuff where he gets the gun, the blaster from Woody Harrelson's character. I think we're going to get a lot of future paid off stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he gets a Millennium Falcon. It's his meeting of Lando for the first time. So we're told it's the first time they met. Who knows? You know, there are scandals. It could be.
Yeah. That whole thing could be a scam on somebody else.
I am really excited to hear. I'm really excited to see if all the rumors about, Lando, is true. 'Cause there's two things I've heard about it. About the movie is, one is every scene that Lando's in, he just fucking just destroys. But also there's a really good balance of like chewy moments throughout the movie too, where he says something and obviously there's only like two people that can understand him. One is the droid and the other one is Han. And so there's a lot of like fun stuff that happens with that. So that's exciting for here as well. 'Cause that's always been the good dynamic between Han and Chewie is he says something, everyone's like, what? And then Han gives him the retort, like, you know, back to Swansea, like, though we saw in the trailers, like, you're 190 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that kind of thing, you know? So, and the fact that he calls him, he's like, what are you, a co-pilot? I was like, yes, you're a co-pilot. That's a joke. It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's Han and Chewie. It's exciting. I've heard a lot of good things, but, I mean, it's hard to say ahead of time. I haven't talked to anybody who I know a couple of people went to premieres, but I haven't talked about it because I refuse to let anyone ruin it for me. It's either going to be super awesome or it's going to be not great at all. I think it's not going to be lukewarm. I think it's going to be pretty like a super fun movie, or it's going to be
a weird dynamic that a lot of people forget that, you know, early into the shooting process, it switched directors too, which usually spells disaster for a movie.
Well, I saw a thing when someone was talking to Ron Howard about, or talking about Ron Howard coming on to, I think it was Donald and, I can't remember who it was they were talking about, but someone said that after he came in, he watched all the dailies, the same dailies that basically led Disney to separate ways with the first directors. That he basically watched those and said something like, this won't do because this doesn't make sense. I don't know where they're going with this, and reshot 90% of what they already shot. And that was luckily so early in the production that it didn't kill all those it, things yeah. weren't like devastating. Like, they didn't have to recall these people back in. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they did do is they replaced the villain. So the original villain, there wasn't a villain. That was like kind of like, but Paul Bettany's character, which I can't remember his name, he was not in the original script. He was added later by Ron Howard and John Kasdan as they kind of rewrote what Chris Lord and what's his face had.
Well, what I will say though is if you are gonna switch directors during production, like going to Ron Howard is probably best case scenario.
Solid move, yes.
Like. Because, one, he's an upgrade over almost every director.
Yeah.
Because he's just that. He's proven he's that good. And he's made tons of different types. And he's been around so long where there's obviously weirdness when you switch, you know, your leadership, basically, on a job. And if it was a relative unknown coming in, or like the studio had a guy that they really wanted, we're going to shove this guy into the role and we're going to make him our big, like that could rub a lot of people the wrong way. But when you go to a dude that has 40 years in the business now, somewhere around there, I mean, dude was fucking, he was in a movie with John Wayne. Like, that's how long he's been around.
And he worked with the original Han Solo.
Yeah. So, and then that's just acting, and then directing. He's directed every different type of movie from Splash to The Da Vinci Code. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't go wrong with him, and he's such a good director where you're like, all right, well, this is makes it a little bit more interesting. So I think they avoided a big potential disaster there by shelling out however much it costs to get Ron Howard to direct their flick on super late notice. Uh-huh. And how lucky are them too that he wasn't doing something, because
yeah,
Ron Howard usually got his shit lined up.
Yeah, Ron Howard's not one of those guys who's like, it does, you don't,
yeah, hear. He's not a every 5 years something comes out. He's a every year or two something comes out,
and it's always that solid kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it should be fun to see what he did with it, because that was always the thing when they started bringing back these, when they started doing Star Wars movies, you're like, okay, well, the initial thought was like, I know Jon Favreau was one where like, okay, he's gonna direct a Star Wars movie. J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams already did it. Now we want to see people like, you know, Steven Spielberg, Ron Howard, and a couple other directors where you're like, these are the wish list, you know what I mean? And he's one of the people on that list. So now we just need Spielberg to do it, even though he said he won't, but I think he will someday.
So the character Dryden Voss, who's played by Paul Bettany, was originally supposed to be, is a crime lord, originally played in the first shooting, he was in it, was Michael K. Williams, had originally been cast, but he was removed from the film, the final film, after being unable to return during set to do reshoots. Bettany was cast in his place, with the character being reworked from a motion capture alien, described by Williams as half mountain lion, half human, to be a scarred human. So originally, Michael K. Williams, if you don't know who that is, he's been in a lot of different things. He's most notably, he was in HBO's The Wire, many other things if you see who he is. But yeah, so originally he was supposed to be a motion captured alien, who apparently is half mountain lion, half human, whatever the fuck that actually means. Jon Favreau is actually the voice of Rio Durant, who is the robot sidekick of Donald Glover, I think, or Lando Calrissian, I believe is who he plays. There's a Anthony Daniels does a cameo as a Tok.
Oh, I was like, shit, C-3 in this?
Warwick Davis actually reprises a role from Phantom Menace, which is pretty cool. Clint Howard, of course, is in it because, you know, it's Ron and his brother, who I talked about on my podcast just recently. Because
you referred to him as a not so good looking man.
Yeah, because he's not like he's.
Yeah, but it was like the nicest way of calling somebody ugly.
It's true. Like he's very recognizable, but the problem is if you see him, you're like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I think that's what I said last night. But yeah, so it's interesting to see what they're going to do. The one thing I want to see in this one is going to be how much like Western style action and heisty stuff that actually happens in it. Because there's a couple scenes in the trailers that look like it's like pretty fucking, you know, gunfightery, like shooter, you know, like, oh, we're going to draw on each other. This is that one scene where you see the, whatever that fucking dude's name is in the crazy mask with the staffy thing, surrounded by what looks to be stormtroopers and other, you know, ne'er-do-wells. And they're like facing off and you see Han pop the clip. And I was like, oh shit, you're going to fucking let people have it. So yeah, I think, hopefully it's going to be pretty, pretty amazing. That's what I think, at least.
Yeah.
Should be a fun time.
Fun time. Any other news you want to talk about? Anything else?
Nope. I got nothing. I got a microphone.
Yeah, you do.
Talk about that?
I got a mic. You do. It's one step closer to actually having his solo podcast up and running.
A solo podcast?
Doesn't have a theme, doesn't have a title.
Nope.
But he has the equipment.
I do.
And I think he has the wants.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He's like,
I got a little bit of that.
Kinda. Once I have a theme and a title, maybe I'll have more.
I just don't want it to be the same old shit. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
I'm sure you will.
I got an imagination.
Oh, that's what you call that?
Yep. I'll get it done. Joe doesn't think so. Thanks for the support, friend.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, man. You're like, you suck at this podcast. Hey, why would you take your own?
I'm helping you out. I am trying to get you there.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson's joining the cast of Men in Black. Not reboot.
It's a spinoff.
Spinoff with Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson.
Who?
Tessa Thompson.
No, the first guy.
Chris Hemsworth. Liam Neeson.
Wow. That's a weird cast, huh?
Yeah, they're not. So they're not playing. It's a true spinoff. So it takes place in basically in the present day of that world, but they're not playing J and K.
Right.
They're playing different agents.
I always wondered why. Like I feel like if like 2 and 3 were handled a little bit better, that could have been like its own universe.
Yeah.
You know, they could have had all these other agents and stuff. That would be kind of cool though. Because then you could still get J and K in there for a little bit.
This is a spot cameo or something?
Yeah, man. A little bit more than a cameo. Like, K needs to be running the whole thing, right?
Well, Rip Torn's not going to be doing it, but I think that might be what Liam Neeson's doing.
Nah,
K. Rip Torn's dead, so he can't really do it.
Yeah.
Is Rip Torn dead?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
For how long?
Might be one of those things where I made that up.
But no, pretty sure he's died. I think he's dead.
And it's not because he got crushed by 10 tons of irony.
No.
Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Joke. No, but I think he's actually dead, though.
He had issues with alcohol abuse, right?
Yeah.
And
Mike's fact-checking right now.
No?
Dead, right? Okay, no. As I thought.
He's not dead. You sure? Not dead.
When did he die?
According to Wikipedia, he's born February 6, 1931. Doesn't give a death date. It says years active, 1951 to present. Jesus Christ, Rip Torn.
He's old.
I'm going to Google Rip Torn dead.
Dead? Reflection on the dead?
If I type Rip Torn dead or alive is the second option that comes up.
Maybe it's one of those things where he can't act anymore because of his alcohol abuse or something like that. Speaking of alcohol abuse, last bit of news we'll talk about before we get the wrap-up signal from our producers. Casting for Spider-Man Homecoming 2. Tentative title, obviously.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
And returning,
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Michael Keaton has been confirmed to return.
Oh, really?
As Vulture.
Nice.
I like that. Is he kind of good guy-ish now? Because Spider-Man kind of saved his life.
Yeah. Well, and ruined it.
Did he ruin it, though? Or did he save
his... sure he's going to be like the beginning of the Sinister Six within this.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Because I mean, those two...
I think more Michael Keaton is always okay, because he was fucking amazing in that movie.
But no, I think he
remember how good that scene was where he's talking to him in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, dude. It's like every now and then you get a part in a movie where you're like, fuck, that's right. Like, acting is a... Because sometimes you watch movies and you're like, yeah, that was a fun movie, but like anyone could have done that. You know what I mean? Like any half-ass actor could have done most of the movies that come out now. And like even with Marvel, you kind of feel like anybody could kind of do it because like the characters are like... You already have so much invested that they could probably take a shortcut here and there and people wouldn't really notice. But then Keaton lays out some shit like that and you're like, fuck, he's good, dude. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, that's so good.
Right. I forgot he's an actual legit real actor.
Yeah. Like top notch. Yeah. I do want to see him. This is kind of, I'm going, let's do a Michael Keaton podcast now. I do want to see him go back to comedy though, because that was his roots.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so good in things like Beetlejuice or what was it, Night Shift. Was so goddamn funny in that, but he hasn't done a comedy in forever. Anyway, but yeah, that's cool. He's in the next one. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, because I think the ultimate plan is to ramp up to like a Sinister Six type thing by the, I don't know, maybe the third movie, but like, you know, maybe doing something like that where like it's kind of like Spidey's
Avengers
type thing where like him and
some. Can you imagine a movie way down the line where half of your bad guy crew is Michael Keaton, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Tom Hardy? I know that's not the plan, but I mean they could work it out if they want to. Mm-hmm. But god damn, that movie!
That would be awesome.
You could just call it Sinister Three. I'd be okay with those three. I don't need the other three.
You could have, I mean, you could easily bring in the other three. They don't have to be in their own movies, but you have, yeah. You have other, I mean, technically the Shocker's not dead from Homecoming 1.
Yeah, but you could tell by who they casted, they're not like real worried.
Well, they got rid of the first one and then brought in the second guy. He's like, well, I guess I'll use these now.
Because that guy is just one of those dudes that's like in a lot of shit. And he's always solid, but like you're not building a core around him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could be one of the six, but it's like, oh, this guy's easily taken care of. Like, you know, Web Blasted Face, like, oh, shit. Like, how do I get this off these weird gloves? I keep shocking myself.
That's how he kills himself. Yep. He's like, oh, pulls his fucking brains out.
Shrinks his head up.
I do.
Do.
Jake Gyllenhaal is a weird choice, though, right? Like, it's a good choice, but I wasn't, like, if you'd given me 10 guesses, I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal would have been on that guest list. I kind of always think of Spider-Man villains as older, too.
Yeah, and I think that's what they want to get away from.
Yeah.
Not that they made a mistake with Michael Keaton, but Michael Keaton fit that role really well because of who he was. But no, I think having a younger villain cast makes it better for...
Because Spider-Man's... I keep wanting to say Superman. Spider-Man's so young.
Yeah.
Like, the actual guy is so young. You kind of need people to carry this franchise for another 10 movies.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, no, I think it's a really good one. So, like, what your point was, if you were to ask me, hey, who would you want to have play a villain in Spider-Man? I wouldn't have come up with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm-mm.
When I heard the news,
it clicks.
From you, yeah. I was like, fuck yes. And two things right off the bat jumped to me, and that's Nocturnal Animals and Nightcrawler.
Which I haven't seen either one.
If you watch those movies,
I didn't have a reference point for that.
If you watch those two movies, you'll understand, like, oh, that dude's crazy. Like, legitimately, he can play like a creepy, unsettling dude, but who can switch it? Who can be like normal, fucking not normal? You know what I mean? And like Donnie Darko, I said that to you because I know you'd seen it.
Darko made I was like,
Donnie Darko. He has that I'm just this lonely kid, but then he has that like fucking murderous look in his eyes. You're like, you sir, aren't
you gonna put a glass bowl over his head the whole movie?
Well, I mean, not really. You don't have to because like you can. Depending on how they go for it, he may not have to actually wear a costume. It could just be effects that he causes on him. But I would like to see him in a getup, though, for like practical reasons of some sort. You know, not just of him wear a fucking, look at me, I'm in a costume. But, I mean, the fishbowl adds mysteriousness to it because they can fill it with something that makes you can't see his face. But also, if he does what he did in the Ultimate Universe, is where he puts out a gas to make you hallucinate, it would be a rebreather, so he doesn't have to breathe it in. Mm. So you don't have to
He is kind of like Marvel's Scarecrow, huh?
Essentially, yeah.
No, good point. I never made that connection.
So like, that's how they do it because he also uses that to manipulate. Because when he starts to make you see shit, he can use the suit to project. Images of himself and other things around, and the suit is where it all comes from.
So, spoiler, Spider-Man's not really dead, eh?
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know if Tom Holland's coming back for it. It could be Miles, you know? It could even be, since they're, you know, throwing it could be a girl. It could be Spider-Girl or Spider-Woman or something shows up. Could be fucking Spider-Gwen. Who fucking knows nowadays?
Everything's up in the air, fuckers.
Like, yeah. Maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he comes back and he's someone else. We don't know what the fucking Infinity Stone does. He comes back as the Ultimate's Miles Morales. And it's actually played Donald Glover.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's
comes not back as Tobey Maguire.
Oh, Jesus. No.
That's terrible.
No. No.
Just saying. You said anything could happen.
I'd take Andrew Garfield before I took
him. Yeah, so would I. Yeah, come on. That bro. First Andrew Garfield one was really fun.
Yeah. The second one? Anyhow,
someone got murdered outside just now.
I think it's Daphne from Frasier. Because
Daphne got murdered outside. Jesus Christ, this is weird.
Anyhow, as we wrap up here, look forward in the future for Mike's Whatever It Is podcast.
Yeah, it's
coming soonish.
It's Suns and wrestling and sports and you know things.
And stuff.
Stuff.
Title to come.
Yeah. To be determined.
Yep, there you go. Anyhow, that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
I is Mike.
I be Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.